Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a kite.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. I'm your host Tyler. Joining me for the discourse on this episode is Dave.
Hello.
Matt.
Oh, hi there.
Aaron.
What?
And Jason.
Huh. It's me.
I wasn't trying to set a trend there. I'm still just so flabbergasted whenever you call on me
when you get to go first.
Yeah.
I was already planning on being surprised.
Sometimes it just works out.
You laid the groundwork.
Mm-hmm. I'm always delightfully surprised to be here. We've come careening out of the Garlic Jr. saga and on our way to actual canonical content.
Well, mostly.
There's still some extra characters that may or may not appear in the manga.
Oh.
But they're very brief.
All right.
So brief that I completely forgot they existed.
On this show, we watch 3 episodes of hit anime, Dragon Ball Z, every week. And then we talk to you, the listening audience, about it.
Mm-hmm.
Both the events that occur and how we feel about them.
And like we said, when we say Dragon Ball Z, we mean all of Dragon Ball Z. None
Every
of that
juicy
pie.
Morsel.
We put the all in Dragon Ball.
You can't spell Dragon Ball without all.
Without it, it'd just be Dragon B.
Dragon
Z. Dragon
Bzz.
Dragon
Bzz. Dragon
Bees.
That was my first fan.
Dragon Bees.
Starring
much
Seinfeld.
More horrifying.
I don't like it. I don't like it, and I want it to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
I read a book recently that had, like, bee dragons.
Bee dragons?
Did you?
Yeah. It was there. Or maybe they were, like, hummingbird. No, they... Well, I don't know.
That's a very important distinction.
I don't want either one. I don't like it. I don't want it to be around me.
A dragon bee is just a wasp.
Yep.
Shit.
Yep.
Well, no, a wasp is a bee that's called Super Saiyan.
Oh, shit.
If you look up dragon bee in the dictionary, it just says sea wasp.
Oh, my God. Do y'all know about, what's it, like the hawk wasp?
No.
Oh my gosh. So
sounds bad.
It's the best scientific paper ever written, I think. Because so wasps have let's all go to Aaron's science corner.
Yes.
Yay!
Wasps have
2 main survival strategies. Their stings can either be basically very, very painful or very, very toxic.
Do you get to choose, or do they?
I mean, it varies by
species.
Does
the player or the GM make that decision?
What is choice on an evolutionary scale? So, like, social bees tend to have toxic stingers because they want to kill whatever invader's coming.
Sure.
So they can protect the hive. But more solitary bees tend to have stingers that are really, really painful, but, like, don't actually cause any tissue damage. Hmm. And the hawk wasp. Oh, no, tarantula hawk.
What?
That's the name of it.
How does it get worse?
Was it to combine those names together?
I thought that thing was a lie.
Well, it hunts tarantulas.
What?
Oh.
Okay. Oh.
So it's more hardcore than any of us will ever be.
Yes,
I thought you were talking about that picture of a spider with wings that had been going around the internet.
What?
Oh, no, I haven't seen that. It sounds dope, though.
Stop and, alarming me.
Aaron, you're saying that these exist on our world and not Dragon World.
They do. But they have a very, very, very painful sting so that they can stun predators so that the hawk wasp can get away. Because it's a solitary wasp, it doesn't really have a hive to protect. Or it just stuns the tarantula long enough to, you know, kill it and eat it.
So it can
lay its eggs in it or whatever.
It can set phasers to stun.
What? Basically, except it's like, stun is a lot. A lot of stunning.
So this is episode 40 of a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast.
It will not cause you pain.
It will not. Well, we hope it won't. That's not the goal. And if you have listened to 40 episodes, or 39, well, actually more, because there's bonuses, so
that
content aplenty.
But if you've listened to all the episodes of this show before, you are familiar with the fact that we do not shy away from fan fiction.
Oh, no.
In fact, we engage in it at the end of every episode. And though it has been some time, you may recall that I have in the past shared some original characters that I made up when I was a child and watching this show. I have two more to share tonight.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been a while. And the reason for that is because one of them, let's say, was pretty directly influenced by a mysterious youth who appears in the episodes this week.
Hmm.
First and foremost, though, I did have my own version of Frieza. And Jason, you may remember, because I have used this name before in a D&D game that I DM'd for a while. But as a kid, in a town called Draket, Massachusetts, there is a building called Gorman Tax Service, but the sign outside just says Gorman Tax.
Okay.
And Gorman Tax has always sounded like the name of a devil to me.
That is a pretty good fantasy name.
It does. It's a villainous name.
Gorman Tax.
I have utilized it frequently in my own creative endeavors.
Probably due to the word gore within it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. it's like how J.R.R. Tolkien understood that if you put the syllable more into anything, it sounds profoundly evil and menacing.
So my Frieza, or my Frieza corollary, was an entity known as Gorman Tax that lived in the center of the planet Namek.
What?
He was just there the whole time?
Yeah, he was
Karanga's
awakened.
Roommate?
He was awakened when Frieza sent a ball down to the center of Namek. And he was upset to be awake, so they had to fight him.
It's like if you're an old guy and you get mad when kids throw balls in your yard.
Did they beat him?
They did, obviously. Because he's a bad guy, and bad guys lose.
Yeah.
He was sort of a combination of Frieza, Dodoria, and I think I had just recently seen Fantasia, because he has some, like, bitchin' Night on Bald Mountain bat wings.
Nice.
Yes.
And the other character is a mysterious youth with a sword, because...
That sounds like a cool character concept.
Yeah, as a young man...
Swords and Dragon Ball, that's ridiculous.
It'd be like Yajirobe, but cooler.
Like, way cooler.
What if Yajirobe was cool and did stuff?
As a young man with an interest in anime and video games, I would say there was a phase of my life where my entire aesthetic was colored by mysterious youths with cool swords.
I can relate to this.
Yeah, that's a fair path to travel.
And I was also, at the time, a fan of a game called Chrono Cross. I don't know if any of you have seen or played it. But I more or less lifted the main character's design whole cloth.
Whole cross.
And I named this gentleman Nox.
Classic.
Yeah.
N-O-X.
Mm-hmm. Classic.
Because it sounded badass.
Yep.
Hell
it's,
yeah.
It's like night, but it's got an X in it, so it's like cooler.
The edge is thick.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. These are good. I like the spikes on his head.
Yeah, Gorman Tax is very, very good.
Ah.
I like Nox's pants.
You should play Chrono Cross.
Strong.
This is an outfit I could wear.
That is a cucumber sorbet that I need like three scoops of that Gorman Tax. Are you kidding?
Yeah. I like the sunshine sword too.
Oh yeah, that's an important detail, is that his sword has the power of the sun. I forgot to mention.
It's a good thing to mention.
There is really just something special about the aesthetic of fan Dragon Ball Z characters. They always have the elements of a Toriyama character, but they never feel even close.
But not
to
quite. And I do have more backstory to Nox, but I cannot reveal it yet because he's a mysterious youth.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That content is locked until chapter 4.
Uh-huh. Would you guys like to talk about the real episodes of Dragon Ball Z this week?
I don't know how it could possibly be as entertaining.
I have a question about Gorman Tax.
Please.
Was he always in the center of Planet Namek?
Yep.
Is he really a bad guy?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's a demon.
Okay.
Is he the evil counterpart to Purunga?
I mean,
did he try to fight Frieza, or did he just come out and be like, I'ma kill all y'all.
No, he came out and tried to fight Goku and the other Saiyans that I made up.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, he's
after
that
Frieza
guy,
was defeated.
Oh, yeah, he's super bad.
If there were a podcast rewatching my fan fiction stories later, they might try to recontextualize the character as a more sympathetic being. But at the time, he was a villain.
Did he die?
Yeah.
Oh,
was he defeated by Helix?
But death doesn't mean anything in Dragon Ball.
Now, you know, honestly, as far as OCs go, that's kind of remarkable to me. Like, the idea that,
that he died?
Yeah, that you would make a character with the, like, understanding that their purpose is to go down. Like,
well, he's a bad guy. That's what
they
do.
Like that, yeah, like, that's very strange in the continuum of OCs to me. Like, is that, was that, like, common in the DBZ community?
Huh.
I was pretty secluded.
Yeah,
to
I'm
just
curious.
My own imagination.
I did that with mine. Yeah. Maybe.
Interesting to me.
Yeah, if you design, like, a bad guy DBZ character, you just know that their destiny is to be killed by a good guy.
Or to be friends.
Yeah.
No.
Those are the
See,
two
that's,
options.
That's where I would live.
And then they're not really bad.
Well, yeah. They're like Vegeta.
Yeah.
So let's hop into the real, actual, factual episodes of hit anime Dragon Ball Z.
Woo!
Yeah.
This week.
I'm talking about.
We are covering episodes 118, 119, and 120. 118, the English title, is Frieza's Counterattack.
What?
Huh?
How, Frieza?
This guy's
that's
back.
That's weird. He's dead.
We can't go 11 episodes without this motherfucker getting in our grill.
He had the funny anime face.
Yeah.
Of course he's dead.
Yeah.
With that Mark's death. The Japanese title for 118 roughly translates to, "That there is the Earth, Papa. The counterattack of Frieza, father and son."
Fantastic.
You gotta read the first part
so
in that
much,
voice.
But I do. That there's the Earth, Papa.
I don't know why I went to Earth a Kit, but I'm glad
it
I did.
Tickles me.
We've already discussed the infinite possibilities presented by Frieza and Yzma being bros. So.
That is true.
Hey,
I don't know if you guys watched it.
Yeah, who's
but
that,
there's a new intro.
Who's that purple haired boy in the intro?
I almost didn't notice it. I had to go back and watch it again.
There's no more Saiyans walking in lava.
But there's Vegeta and
there
a
is...
mysterious young man.
Yeah.
With a sword.
Whose face is weirdly exactly like Vegeta's.
That is weird.
And he's got blonde hair.
I wrote down two notes. Just two notes for the new intro, which were, I like how they just sort of sprinkled a little bit of new animation into the existing intro, and then just, Vegeta is really short.
Just season it.
Congratulations, Vegeta. You're a main character now.
Not that it is a very big surprise, but they do kind of spoil Vegeta becoming a blonde.
That's true.
Just right there in the intro.
They do that.
So you have that to look forward to.
Yeah. Well, as this mysterious youth and enigma in lavender.
There's also a weird old man face, partially shrouded in
darkness. What's up with that? It looks like a Namekian face.
And a hand with wires in it.
Yeah, creating itself.
That does a beam. My first note for the episode itself is Gohan's first line, which is, "Gosh, Dad, what's the deal?"
Yeah.
As he waits for his father to return from space.
I was distracted by wanting to tell Gohan to put all four legs on the floor.
Be careful.
I work with kids, and I have to say that all the time.
Leaning back
in his
chair.
You're gonna fall down. Spoiler alert, he does fall down.
Gohan is a thrill seeker. We know this. We cut over to Roshi, who is still looking at porn on the beach.
Yep.
Falling asleep.
It's his home, I guess.
It's pretty soft porn for, like, I don't know, just how into it he seems.
He is very into breasts. That's about all he cares about.
They're, like, hidden when we see it.
I mean,
like, the models are turned away from
the
camera.
Yeah, it is a coquettish magazine.
That's the centerfold, buddy.
Yeah.
My theory here is that, like, Roshi is probably old enough so that he's probably got a more nuanced taste in the kind of pornography he's into. So maybe, like, in his twilight years, he's like, actually, I'm more into softcore.
The idea of it.
We've seen this man go nuts over people just doing yoga.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Actually,
fair,
shit.
Fair. Fair.
He just likes to tease himself.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very funny, like that concept, the idea that he's this, like he's such a perv. And he's just so into it, but like what he considers to be raunchy and tasty is so incredibly like laid back.
Pretty tame.
It doesn't even actually mm-hmm. involve
nudity.
In the
nudity. Grand scheme.
Relatively right. pure-hearted so old. For a dirty old man.
Yeah.
Comparatively
probably because
speaking.
He's so old. So slender, merely the ankle was exposed.
That could be the source of it. He's so old that his standards of lewd. Are just tame and
just locked in time.
Yeah.
I saw her whole shoulder! Yeah!
I don't know how much historical fashion you guys have seen, but it gets wild.
Krillin is back in his gi, practicing Kamehamehas in the tide.
Wearing shoes.
Trying to get over Marin.
Unsuccessfully.
He causes a tidal wave.
You gotta throw yourself into a project.
So what happens here? He blasts the water out and then it comes back in?
I guess that's the implication.
And then he gets...
wasn't good enough.
Yeah, he gets upset. Like, what isn't good enough about that, Krillin? That the water came back?
Bigger than you sent it out?
Yeah. This has shades of Tien's waterfall lifting to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have very specific water metrics that we don't understand.
I guess so. Mm-hmm. I guess it's because we're not martial artists.
I'm
glad that
numbers different than we do.
I'm glad that Roshi has Turtle around to keep him honest. Or at least try to.
Gohan is still goofing off at his desk, and Chi-Chi brings a strange man into the house named Mr. Shu.
Chi-Chi looks a lot healthier after some years away from Goku than me. She seems a lot less harried.
Yeah. And Mr. Shu is to be Gohan's tutor, because I guess Gohan is falling behind in his studies.
Well, it's just that he's not getting, you know...
Nobody said that except Mr. Shu. I refuse to believe it.
Yeah, like...
Because you can get a tutor for accelerated...
That's true.
...studies.
Yeah.
And it seems like Gohan still homeschooled at
yeah.
this point?
Yeah.
That was the vibe I got, that Chi-Chi was like, all right, you're amazing already. Let's just accelerate this.
Let's kick it up a notch.
Yeah.
We need to get you a master, and I am not sending you to Master Roshi. You are not doing martial arts.
Mm-hmm. He's the only master we know.
We'll do the closest thing we can to in book land, and that's Mr. Shu.
I guess.
The vibe I got was Gohan was getting perfect scores before, and now he's getting slightly below perfect scores.
Yeah, exactly.
Which means he's distracted and he needs help.
This guy looks really like... Is this like some asshole Toriyama like actually knew or something?
That is the vibe that I got.
This is Mr. Satan's nerdy younger brother.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Boy.
With his incredibly shitty mustache.
I cannot... Oh, no. I do not like Mr. Shu.
Well, I already didn't
He's
like him.
He's got some issues.
He does.
Mm-hmm. You get it? Like, Shu?
You spell it S-H-U.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Also, in Japanese, his name roughly translates to the worst teacher.
Good. Perfect.
It uses
good.
The kanji for disaster in it. This is the umbrage of the dragon world.
And this is who we were referring to before when we said there was a little bit of filler, because this man only exists in the anime.
This one lonely episode.
Yeah, I was sure he was around for two or three. I don't know why I thought that, but here we are.
He's just that bad.
Yeah.
His memories cannot be contained.
He leaves an impression. We cut over to everyone else hanging out at the Capsule Corp.
Cat loves foods! Yeah, yeah, yeah!
Cat loves food!
Yeah!
Why?
And Bulma says, you goof!
Bulma is living her best fashion life here.
So much fashion.
Apparently this was an old cat food commercial, and Puar hates when Yamcha sings it. To which Oolong responds in just the most... This was just so bizarre.
Yeah.
He said, I tried cat food once. I thought it was tuna fish. What?
It's like it's an inside joke to a thing that happened off screen. I don't...
Yeah, we are not privy to this inside joke.
I'm so curious. I hopped over to the Japanese because I'm like, there's got to be something even more buck wild. Nope, it's just Yamcha going, it sure is glad to have the world be at peace for a bit.
Yeah, they're all just talking about how it's nice that nobody's fighting.
Yeah, but nope, we just get this inexplicable. This is the real gem that I just want to appreciate, how completely out of fucking nowhere this whole thing is.
They're just friends hanging out, talking about cat food.
Just
like
friends being pals.
Jason, would you like to talk about Bulma's new fashion?
I sure would. Okay, here's the thing. People don't like this fashion.
I love it.
Yeah, it is probably towards the bottom in like fan favorite outfits
yes.
for Bulma, I would say.
I feel like pretty much all of Bulma's looks are very strong. And among those, there must be some that hit the mark a little bit less. I disagree. I think this look is fantastic. I think what might be a bit distracting is that the hair is very un-Bulma as we have seen her.
This is true.
It's very different.
It is out and high and like a poofed up afro.
It's a lot more panchy than it
is Bulma.
A
lot of body to it, too.
Oh, yes. Voluminous, this hair is.
It's like she's borrowing from her mom.
I think she's borrowing from someone else.
Oh.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Oh, well, or we can not. She says, as a follow-up to the tuna fish comment, mm-hmm. that she had a weird dream.
Mm-hmm.
It was a smooth subject change. She had a weird dream that Vegeta came back. And he was nice to her and a good kisser.
She had a sex dream about Vegeta.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. I cannot believe that this is the case. Because Vegeta took off in a Capsule Corp spaceship, and her hair is all did, and she's
mm-hmm.
wearing makeup.
Mm-hmm.
She's been tracking that Capsule Corp spaceship. She knows he's coming back.
Oh, yeah. She knows it's low on fuel.
Yeah.
The only thing that I, like, she seems sad when she hears that Vegeta's running out of fuel. So I could maybe believe that she thought Vegeta was coming back to, like, well, I guess I'll go hang out with that cool Bulma chick. But then she realizes, oh, no, he just
needs
fuel.
I love this theory a lot because this just says that, like, Bulma was ready at the jump.
Yeah. Yeah.
She is a woman who plans and who gets what she wants.
We know this about Bulma
Briefs. Yeah, the whole first Dragon Ball arc is her getting what she wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I commented on, like, just the way her looking at Vegeta changed, like, when they were out in the field and he was tossing grass.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just kind of looking at him like, oh, you're not this scary whatever. You're just a dude.
You're dumb bratty boyfriends.
You have inner grass turmoil.
I want a piece of it.
I want to fix it.
I have lots of sexy issues.
I've been reading a lot of your Earth literature on my travels.
Oh, God.
That or just this is somebody worthy of fighting against. Yamcha is not a worthy opponent.
No.
For Bulma's wit mm-hmm. and sassiness.
Poor, awkward Yamcha.
Yeah.
Poor. Yeah.
And all of this.
That's rough.
It's real rough. It's just like, come on, Bulma. I'm right here.
Speaking of fashion, he's not trying very hard anymore, is he?
Yeah,
no, he's phoning this one in.
He's basically wearing pajamas. Mr. Shu reveals himself to be a very bad dude because he uses a whip for his tutoring methods.
Yeah.
God, even before he brought out the whip, his tutoring methods are terrible.
I mean, they're very strict.
Yeah,
the whip
as a
is
tutor.
Very bad.
Before we get to the whip, we have to take a moment to appreciate the fact that he apparently doesn't tolerate slang.
Yeah.
But
I took a note of this too.
But he counts the word like man as slang.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, Gohan just goes, man, ugh.
Please do not talk slang.
That's what the roustabouts of today's youth use. They say things are whack and
what are
bite.
You, a West City boy?
And they play Dungeons and Dragons.
Did he maybe like try to tutor at a place where Lapis and Lazuli were and he just gave up?
Lapis yeah. and Lazuli were the students that broke him.
That's why he got the lift.
They made him what he is.
They didn't even say, "Oh, Captain, my Captain."
Oh. Aaron, you are a tutor, and thus you can probably offer a good critique on the tutoring skills of Mr. Shu here.
Do you like to take a Castlevania approach to your students?
Do you like to literally crack the whip?
As Gohan said, mistakes are to learn from.
That's right.
And see, there's some genuine wisdom.
Gohan is a better tutor than this
my
man.
Question,
that he learned from Piccolo.
Thank you. So that answers the question I was about to ask, which was, which of his many parents taught him that? Yeah. It was Piccolo.
Anything worthwhile likely came from Piccolo.
No, it's just like, he just comes on as aggressive.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be buddy-buddy to start with. You want to start out, you know, strict, and you can get less strict. But you want to reward positive behavior before you punish negative behavior.
Or
if you punish negative behavior, that's all the attention they get. And that's,
maybe also don't shit talk their dad.
Maybe that.
Yeah.
Gohan is not that bothered by the whipping because he is a space kid with like a power level of a half a million at this point.
A couple months ago blew up a planet /
yeah.
Star.
Watched his father die.
But this does really suck. He is not enjoying it.
No, the look he gives back at Mr. Shu / the camera when Mr. Shu says, "This might be the toughest lesson you've ever learned," is such a
bitch, please.
Look. Yes, it was withering.
I ate a goddamn dinosaur.
Gohan was just trying to figure out if he could do I-beams at that moment.
I ate a goddamn dinosaur backwards.
And I wrote down, where the fuck did Chi-Chi find this guy? And so how long until Chi-Chi literally murders this man and then buries him in the backyard?
I'm glad you know Chi-Chi well enough to make that prediction.
Yeah.
I was worried about Chi-Chi at first in this episode. Like, when she was talking about how vulnerable she is, and having some emotions. But then, when this whipping started, does she have hearing damage, do you think?
She can't hear a whipping.
Because I feel like you could hear
room.
A whip being
probably.
Whipped.
Probably. It does make a cracking sound.
The blender was on.
But is that why she yells so much? And later on, there's a phone in Gohan's room. Why would the phone be in Gohan's room?
He earned
it. Could Chi-Chi not hear it?
He got enough, like, pizza points to buy a phone.
Chi-Chi doesn't strike me as a pizza points parent.
One thing we don't see much about Chi-Chi in Z that we definitely saw more in original Dragon Ball is one of her, like, main traits is that she's really bad about just getting lost in her own head.
Yeah.
Like, she just, like, drifts off into fantasy land and just kind of stays there for a while.
Which is something Gohan does this episode.
And I was going to say, which we have seen in the past with the, you know, going to get bit by a snake that will make him forget how to do math.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
How could you forget about that?
I don't know. I need a tutor, I guess. A Dragon Ball tutor.
Trivia.
That's what you guys are.
There you go.
Gohan falls asleep at his desk, and he wakes up the next morning to see Icarus at the window. Remember Icarus?
Yeah.
I
do.
The dragon.
That's how you know it's a filler.
He chases Icarus out into the field outside the house.
But
and
who's
sees,
that in the mist?
He sees a familiar figure headed his way.
A dad-shaped figure.
A dad-shaped figure in the mist. Goku's back from space.
Oh my god.
I love... The camera work here was very good. I love, like, the going back and forth between the figure in the mist and Gohan's face, mm-hmm. and every cut back to Gohan's face, there's just more tears and
it just looks like a bomb went off on it.
I love
every
it.
Faucet is leaking.
It was so funny.
That's a kid cry when your just nose is just going,
yeah.
Chi-Chi is also very excited to see that her husband is finally back from space.
And she looks
Yay.
So much better with her hair down.
Oh my gosh,
right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Not that uptight mom bun.
Right.
I often lament that she wears it in a bun like 24/7.
This was so emotional that it triggered the theme song.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This is a good... I love that.
The head chala theme song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool version of it.
She politely asks Goku not to use the window, and he does anyway.
That scamp.
And she just, I love that she, like, makes, like, does the, like, you can't see it on the podcast, but I'm doing it here, where you make a fist and do the muscle with your bicep.
Yeah.
She's like, goes back through the door, like, oh, all right, he's home.
So they're at the dinner table, and then Gohan asks him, like, what happened to Frieza? Like, what happened out there? And Goku's just like, well, it's a long story, Gohan. And even with what happens next, I was just like, how would you explain what happened between him and Frieza at the very end to, like, anyone, let alone a child younger than 12 years old? Like,
well, I beat him, and then I revived him, and then I beat him again.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's how Goku would say it.
Yeah, basically. I just don't understand that guy.
But then Goku starts making weird noises at Gohan and, like, grabbing him real hard with his hands. He's just going like,
started having Ginyu flashbacks.
Yeah.
And it turns out that that's not Goku, it's Frieza.
I guess.
How did he do that?
He'd learned a new technique to transform into... It's just a dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a dream.
It's a heartbreaking dream. It is a full-on PTSD dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would be bummed out waking up from that.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if it's even a dream, because it started, like, snap, immediately when, like, as soon as Mr. Shu first insulted Goku, Gohan just, like, bam, wake up and see Icarus go into this dream, and then, you know, all of this happens, and then Frieza morphs back into Mr. Shu as Gohan wakes up.
Yeah. It's like, because Gohan is now crushing Mr. Shu's arm.
Like, weird flashback thing, because the last person to talk about Goku like that was Frieza.
They
thought that Goku was dead.
That's a very good point.
Mr. Shu escapes from Gohan's grasp, and he begins mocking Goku's influence, his brutish influence on Gohan, and he whips the kid again.
As you do.
Just kind of like a mixed message, I would say.
Yeah. I'll teach you not to be a brute by brutalizing you.
He's got some dad issues, I think. I think he's projecting a little bit.
Maybe a bit.
If he is Mr. Satan's brother, what can that tell us?
He says that Gohan has the demon seed in him.
I wrote this down in my notes in all caps. The demon seed.
Before he says that, Chi-Chi walks in and... yes, you know, the parrot question. What's going on, Gohan? Nothing.
Yeah.
In exactly the same way my cousin's kid says nothing unprompted when he just walks into a room at this point. He'll just walk through nothing and continue on his way.
That means something.
It means something's up.
I actually wanted to break this scene down just real quick. It is perfect comedic timing.
Mm-hmm.
It's Gohan just going, all right, put him up, as he backs Mr. Shu against the wall, and then Chi-Chi coming in. Gohan, what are you doing? Me? Nothing. Commercial break.
That was a very good commercial break.
Mr. Shu decides it's a good idea to continue to mock Goku in front of Gohan, and now Chi-Chi as well. But it doesn't really work out for him, because Chi-Chi physically throws him out the window.
Mm-hmm.
After he whips Gohan again, after Gohan broke one whip, did he bring two whips to this tutoring session?
You have to be prepared.
This is my backup whip.
If you're tutoring someone with the demon seed, you need two whips.
My favorite line...
Sometimes I dual wield them.
My favorite line in quite a while... is when she hucks him out the goddamn window, and Gohan's just like, wow, nice throw. Thank you.
That was very good.
Mm-hmm. This is truly a fuck him up Chi-Chi moment.
Yes.
I love more than her throwing him out the window, her chasing him off the property.
Yeah.
She lunges out the window.
Yeah.
My favorite touch from this is she opens the window first, because it's a nice window. And she doesn't want to have to fix that later.
But also, like, am I the only one who felt a sort of vibe to this scene where, like, it felt like Mr. Shu was acting like he thought he was going to swoosh on in here and become Gohan's new stepdad?
He absolutely did.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He was absolutely positioning himself that way. He just needs a father figure.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like me, good old Mr. Shu.
Sorry, Mr. Shu, all my dad slots are filled. Got a green dad, I got a blue dad, I got a bald bro, I got dad. I got a dragon.
I've got mom dad.
I want either a TV show or like a action platformer called Bald Bro and Dad. Speaking of blue dad, Vegeta's capsule lands back on Earth.
Land is a strong term.
Mm-hmm. It kind of crash lands.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a Saiyan pod. I think that's how it's supposed to work.
And it is not a Saiyan pod.
Yeah, but it was built on one. It was based on one.
He treats it like one.
Yeah, it seems fine.
And yeah. Again,
what
I have
do you
to
mean,
say
landing gear.
And again, I have to say, poor awkward Yamcha. He tries to make a stand against it like he's really going to do something.
He mm-hmm. rushes to the defense of... He and Puar rush to the defense of Pansy, who's just 100% afternoon drunk.
Yeah. Vegeta is welcomed home by a waiting Bulma, who immediately throws him in the shower.
Yeah, you are so right about this, Aaron.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Now that I have a second to think about it.
She had this afternoon planned to a T.
Definitely.
Yes.
But even the outfit.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly the lipstick makes sense, because that was the only thing I wasn't 100% about with her outfit right now. I felt the colors were a little bit off, but it's like, no, she's going the extra mile.
Dude, her hair is naturally straight. Do you realize how long it takes to perm hair like that?
Oh my, yes, I've straight hair, and I have tried to make curly hair, and now my hair's short, and that's part of why. I don't want people telling me how good my hair would be curly.
Vegeta has provided some amazing new fashion.
I like the shirt, but I am not on board with those pants.
I am 100% on board with the whole look, except for his new disgusting hands.
Oh yeah, the hands.
It is pornographic this week.
Tyler, I don't know what you're talking about. The Vegeta DLC route for Dream Daddy looks great.
Once again, Bulma had this shit planned.
Yes, she did.
I also really like how Bulma's shower door is carefully constructed to maintain decency while still showing off the bod of the person inside it. it's like a Phil Folio shower.
I will say, Japanese Bulma is way more forward in this segment.
Yes. I think that was true. That was true in previous episodes too, wasn't it?
Love their Japanese conversation.
Vegeta is just like, I can't go out looking something like this. This is ridiculous. All that stuff. And Japanese Bulma's like, well then, just come out naked.
And then she winks.
Oh, I get it. That's the context of that.
What a vulgar frames. Woman.
Mm-hmm.
That was an ultimatum.
I do, like, in the Japanese, when Vegeta first lands and Bulma accuses Vegeta of being impolite and leads him away, and Yamcha is standing there just confused by what's happening, and Puar observes that Vegeta is at her mercy.
Remember when we theorized that Vegeta would be referring to women as females.
Female?
Ugh, I hate that. I hate that. I hate that so much.
Is it better or worse than servant woman?
Worse.
Yeah, I agree. It's worse.
Because he's a prince, and servants could be anybody, but like, the whole female species, what an enigma.
So strange.
The whole thing of, is this shit for a man or a woman? Buddy, you come from...
Yeah!
That uniform is unisex.
Yeah, exactly.
And even if it was, look at it.
Also, I feel like the whole servant woman thing isn't coming from a place of sexism as much as a place of classism.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I'm the prince, you know, you drew a bath for me, I just assume this means that you're catering to my every whim because I'm literally royalty.
This is what we're doing now.
I'm glad someone on this stupid planet recognizes it. But then
I actually got that, I got a little something different from that. I got, you know, Bulma's clearly the one in charge, this is him trying to get that charge back.
Mm.
There's a little bit of, mutual
power play,
egging each other on. Mm-hmm.
going on.
Because in every way that matters, she's the princess of Earth. So
yes.
The last thing I'll say about Vegeta's fashion, just going back to the capsule fashion of the past, where every shirt that Bulma had said her name on it.
Mm-hmm.
I like that she didn't remember Vegeta's name, I guess, because she just put Batman on the back of his shirt.
Batman.
Oh my god, I didn't notice that.
The way that would have been
more
better...
More proof that this was all planned out.
Yeah.
The only way that would have been better would have been if it had said Bulma and she was just staking her claim.
It just says, like, boy toy on the back.
Yeah.
This belongs to me. Launch back off.
Ms. Briefs, we'll see you now.
I do just want to say, in regards to Vegeta screaming, "Men in Pink, how bizarre!" Brett the Hitman Hart would like to say hello.
Gohan is back to studying, but he feels an ominous sense from space.
Oh no.
His lightning scar starts burning.
Yeah.
It can't be you know who, can it? Yes, Gohan. Voldemort has come.
Oh no.
Ah!
I always thought there wasn't enough human left in him to die.
Bubbles feels it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this Krillin feels serious. It too. So does Bubbles. So does King Kai. So does Tien. So does Vegeta. And he's the first one to put words to it.
To ruin the barbecue, Vegeta.
Frieza's alive and he's coming to Earth.
Bulma's de-escalation game is on point.
It really is.
When he's about ready to fight Yamcha.
He would like more barbecue sauce.
Well, she's known Gofu for a long time. I think she intimately understands the relationship that Saiyans have with food.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, she planned a barbecue for today.
Also, she did a weird, like, Japanese pun.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I didn't think the de-escalation could be better in Japanese, but it was.
Oh, really?
I loved it.
It was like a combination of, this isn't, like, Vegeta was saying something like, this is stupid reasoning, or bakatare. And Bulma's like, that's not stupid reasoning, it's yakiniku seasoning.
Oh my god.
I love it.
While she's holding out the bottle.
Saiyans do not know how to process puns, I think. Mm-hmm.
My last note for this episode is that we get to see Frieza. He has some new enhancements, it seems. Mm-hmm. And he also has a dad.
Yeah, a very large dad.
Yeah.
I love Frieza's giant dad.
I love this. King Cold.
Yeah, I just wrote down, oh shit, King Cold. And then, oh shit, King Cold is very big.
It's very big and very reasonable. Just blow it up from here, son. Mm-hmm.
I know you can.
He has royalty accent.
God, does he have royalty accent.
Well, now let's see where Frieza gets it from. And by
delicious.
It, I mean everything.
So, based on Frieza's race, does this mean King Cold went up to transformation level 2 and just stayed there?
I think that's what we're supposed to take from that.
Interesting.
What I took from it, but I'm a little bit biased from our discussion of Frieza race puberty earlier. Was, you know, Frieza's first transformation looked a lot like King Cold. His next transformation, is that what Frosty looks like?
Frieza's mom?
Is Frosty just alien from the Alien movie?
Probably.
I'm into
Wait,
it.
Is Frieza's mom's name Frosty?
We decided
that.
That's
what that we named her.
Because I would have believed
named
it.
Her such.
I just didn't remember learning that.
I think it's implied that, Frieza is, like, ridiculously way more powerful than his dad. To the
is
point
he?
That...
Because that was mentioned at one point, and I didn't know...
Yeah, to the point that I'm pretty sure Frieza is King Cold's, like, mill ticket. Like, the only reason he has the Empire is because of Frieza's power.
Yeah, the dialogue in the next few episodes implies that to be true, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Frieza does seem to be afraid of his dad.
Well,
or at
really?
Least acquiesces to
him. He seems to respect him.
Yes.
And, like, want his approval, which is interesting.
Well, yeah. He kind of, like, shrinks sometimes to what his dad says.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when his dad is ribbing him. Like, he doesn't get angry at it. He's like, oh, come on, please don't do this in front of everyone.
Well,
you're
dad,
embarrassing me, father.
We'll get into that next episode.
Episode 119... The English title is The Mysterious Youth.
The Japanese title roughly translates to I Will Defeat Frieza, The Mysterious Youth Awaiting Goku.
So Gohan and Krillin are speeding to try and intercept Frieza, and they run into each other midair on the way.
Yeah.
Krillin recognizes the smell of Frieza's power, despite not having a nose.
Yes.
I mean, listen, once someone blows you up, you never really forget them.
Yeah, he had that key inside him.
Krillin does relive his worst day ever, just so that we get to see that animation again.
Mm-hmm.
Once more for the kids at home.
The kids at home. Let's reemphasize where this was broadcast.
Frieza and King Cold out in space admire the beauty of this planet that they're about to fuck up.
The fact that Frieza is not drinking with his dad tells me a lot about their relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it feels very much, like, even if Frieza is more powerful than King Cold, it feels very much like, sure, son, you can have some of the army to go with you. Yes. Also, given King Cold's exit, it makes me think of Zarbon. And is Zarbon the Zazu of this situation?
he absolutely was, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, you can have some of the private army, but you have to take Zarbon
take
with
Zarbon
you.
With you.
Yeah. Oh, Dad.
Not
well, if
Zarbon.
If I have to take Zarbon, then I'm taking Dodoria too. He's cool.
Everything the blackness of space touches.
God.
Oh my god, though. This guy is absolutely Frieza's dad.
Oh yeah.
There is no question.
He could not be more Frieza's dad, and vice versa.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Says basically, tell me more about your Saiyan boyfriend.
Stop talking about him for like
dad.
A year.
Dad, you're embarrassing me.
Seen something's got your blood boiling.
Can't wait to show him your baby pictures.
Oh god, he so would do that.
Oh, so good.
We get a couple scenes of all of the Earthlings, the Z Warriors, meeting up in the place that they think Frieza's ship is going to touch down.
I think Yamcha went and got a nice clean shirt on so he can see his blood all over it when he dies.
God. Bulma and Puar also followed along in a plane, and I really like this scene with Bulma because it perfectly encapsulates how different she is on Earth as opposed to Namek.
Right.
Yep.
This is her element.
She's fucking ride or die.
I think she's. Yeah. I just think she's putting on airs for Vegeta.
You think so?
Oh yeah.
It could be a little bit of both.
I just think she starts
quaking in her boots the next scene.
That's true.
Yeah.
As it stands, like if she has the Earth under her feet, she could take on anything.
Oh yeah.
She thinks. Like, as long as it's home field advantage.
Given sufficient prep time, I think.
Yeah.
She says that she wants to see Frieza because she missed him on Namek. And even if he blows up the planet, she wants to see it firsthand.
And then she makes a cool smile.
And comments that she heard he's hot just to annoy Vegeta.
and Yamcha.
And Yamcha. In the,
well, she doesn't care about Yamcha. That's just an after effect.
it's a collateral damage.
I really liked this scene in the Japanese because her scene about coming to see Frieza is pretty much the same, except instead of commenting that Frieza's hot at the end, she just says, it doesn't matter where we are if he blows up the planet, so I might as well be here. And Vegeta comments, instead of saying that she's stupid, he kind of mutters to himself, where did I write it down? He thought that she was a vulgar woman, but she's got guts.
I think something's happening.
Gohan and Krillin are the last to arrive, and so does Frieza's ship as soon as they get there on the horizon.
Well, let's be honest here. It's King Cold's ship.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Frieza wrecked his in a joyride on Planet Namek.
Yes.
Well, the Saiyans wrecked it.
Frieza takes in the landscape, but he hallucinates a Super Saiyan Goku.
Holy crap. Frieza's got his own PTSD.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's having some, flashbacks.
Oh, yeah, now it is his turn to relive his worst day, which was the same day.
Oddly enough,
Just a little, 5 minutes later.
A short 5 minutes later.
I thought we were done with looking at Mighty Blast of Rage.
Nuh-uh.
Nope.
No,
at least we get to see the aftermath, though.
This is true. Frieza's side story. A single chunk floating in space.
a completely shredded Frieza just drifting in space.
Shredded in the sense that he's been blown to pieces, not that he has an 8-pack.
Not now. At that point, he has a 0-pack.
Mm-hmm. Or like a 5.5-pack, maybe.
King Cold's men tirelessly scour for Frieza, and when they find him, they bring him aboard to reconstruct him.
They bring him back as the 6 million Zenny man.
The King Cold, when they are searching for Frieza, has an authentically excellent Darth Vader moment. Where
oh, yeah.
he tells his captain to go outside and find Frieza himself, and then he breaks the fucking viewport on the bridge and starts venting atmosphere.
What a bastard.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Dr. Skeksis is there to put the finishing touches on Frieza.
He's indispensable, that guy.
This does not look like a sterile environment.
No, not at all. Well, I love that about this stupid fucking cyborg design for Frieza, is that, like, it was not planned. They did not blueprint this. They just grafted whatever they had to him so he wouldn't die.
Which I think is remarkable, considering that, like, the cybernetics hold up under Frieza's power level.
That was a question that Gordy had when we were watching together, is can Frieza transform still?
Ooh.
It's a good question.
Probably not.
Yeah, I think that's permanent.
He is mostly inorganic at this point.
Yeah.
Transformers can transform.
You bring up an excellent point.
Oh.
Yep,
but what you're forgetting is they are more than meets the eye.
I want to see Frieza become a truck.
Frieza would become a fridge.
Frieza would turn into a drone, I think.
See, now, a vehicle with, like, Frieza final form aesthetic would be authentically great.
Yeah.
It would look like an Eldar hover bike or something. I'm here for it.
Or he'd be like a motorcycle. Like a cool one.
Yeah.
Or a Segway. A not cool one. That would be his first form. His first form would turn into a Segway.
The Z-Warriors are approaching cautiously. They are keeping their power level down so that Frieza's men can't sense them on the scouters. And they are physically climbing the landscape. Mm-hmm. Instead of flying. And Yamcha is having a panic attack.
Yeah.
Because he just got wished back to Earth.
Yeah, I get it.
And this Frieza guy seems real bad.
And then he just gives up super hard.
You guys fought this guy?
I think it's when Frieza landed, but Yamcha says something like, I've never felt power like this before. And Gohan says, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Yamcha's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You're six! What the fuck?
Gordy and I turned to each other and we're like, King Kai didn't teach these guys anything.
No.
Right?
They are not prepared at all.
I have a note here that says, Yamcha giving up makes Krillin look like a hero.
Hey, Krillin never does give up. He has that to
Krillin him. Puts in the work.
Yeah. Well, he vocally gives up, but then he actually does the shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. That's the big difference.
It's actions that count. Mm-hmm. That.
Frieza sends out his men to find Goku's friends, but his henchmen are all chopped up and fall back to Earth.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, how'd that happen?
Right.
Last note that I have for this episode is that there is a weird youth, a mysterious youth, with purple hair and a sword.
Yeah.
And he just sort of casually hovers down to Earth.
A cool boy.
Seems to have been expecting Frieza.
Yes.
Mysterious. Mm.
He's a cool boy with cool boots.
So you guys...
And a crop top jacket.
And it has a symbol on it that we've seen before.
Mm-hmm. Capsule Corp.
Where'd he get that?
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, literally any store on Earth, probably.
Just, yeah, from the capsule store.
Right.
Any other thoughts for 119?
My main thought is just, this is just the most 90s design.
It really is. All he needs is a motorcycle. God,
I love
He's
it.
So rad.
All he needs are fingerless gloves.
Yeah.
Or is that 80s?
Does he not have fingerless gloves?
I think that's a holdover. He doesn't. I don't think he has any gloves, does he?
No.
He's just got the jacket.
Yeah, he's got the long sleeves, so he doesn't need gloves.
I will say that unabashedly and unafraid, this person was straight up my childhood, like, anime crush. Like, actually,
I don't
actually.
Doubt that at all.
No, ma'am.
I feel like that's the case for a lot of folks.
Yo, when you're young and you don't quite know what crushes are yet, you sort of have an infatuation with a character you're not sure why, and I always just justified it as, man, I think he's just really cool.
Like, I just want to hang out with that guy.
For instance, when I saw Lord of the Rings when I was like 10 or 11 or whatever, I just thought Legolas was really cool.
Yeah.
And
he shoots a bow so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in that context, I just thought
he can
Trunks
see really
was just
far.
Really cool.
as my very southern mom would put it, he has a nice smile.
He's the Leonardo DiCaprio of Dragon Ball Z.
He absolutely is.
Oh, yeah. Oh my god.
I just love his bangs.
Yeah, he even does like some 90s like bang teasing later
on. I can't.
So good. He does bang teasing when, like, there's nothing to tease. Like,
he just wants to.
He moves his hands like he's trying to sweep his hair out of his eyes, but it's not in his eyes.
No, it just goes back to where it was.
Very sensibly already. Like, that's the equivalent of doing, like, the anime, you know, thing where you push your glasses up on your nose when you're not wearing glasses, which I have also seen anime characters do.
I don't know who this kid's parents are, but they must have both been divas.
They're probably both awesome.
They probably both have incredible hair.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 120, the English title is Another Super Saiyan?
What?
Question mark?
The Japanese title roughly translates to Frieza halved by a single stroke, Another Super Saiyan.
Well, we have seen in the intro that Vegeta has blonde hair.
Yeah.
So I guess he's going Super Saiyan this episode.
Oh, man. He's going to cut Frieza in half with one strike.
He's going to go get his revenge on Frieza.
He's going to beam him real good.
We open this episode with the same line we closed the last one with, because the show did that.
You must be Frieza.
In case you forgot that this is Frieza underneath all the scrap metal.
Underneath the weird random pustules of armor.
Mm-hmm. Which are aesthetically consistent. Looks like the same parts as Saiyan armor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like parts of the ship.
Yeah.
It probably was.
Stripped it out of the engine.
They installed the cappuccino machine into your noggin.
Oh man, I bet Frieza can vend cappuccino now, space cappuccino.
It's right out of the chest pustule.
gross.
Oh boy.
If I was gonna be an android, I would want a cappuccino machine on my head.
This kid appears to have a grudge against Frieza, and he says that he's gonna finish Frieza off for good.
Whoa.
Boom.
Frieza commands a foot soldier to take care of this weird kid, and the kid only has a power level of 5. So the soldiers are like, whatever. This is nothing.
Well, easy peasy.
Is Foot Soldier this guy's title, or is that his name, do you think?
I don't know, but Frieza just shouts,
Foot Soldier!
I want that
and
to
it's
be
great.
His name. First based name on, Foot, last name Soldier.
His name is Foot Soldier.
Yeah, based on the foot fruit.
I've made a Foot Soldier salad today.
I had to notice in this, unfortunately, that King Cold is huge, and therefore he has even bigger, horrible hand feet than Frieza. Like, I didn't need to be reminded of those, but they're enormous. I couldn't ignore them.
They are.
They were evolutionarily developed to just carry off young rabbits. Just swimming down like a hawk.
His murky past.
He's the tarantula hawk of this universe.
No!
So, if we ever saw what was inside Frieza's little chair, it would have just been stuffed with rabbits.
Probably, yeah.
That's just what whatever he caught.
That's what
that
I'm
day.
Going with.
Just snack rabbits for later.
Yeah. Frieza starts raising his eyebrows as being like, you know, is this, you know, you're looking for Goku? Because a mysterious youth says that he is here waiting for Goku.
Right. And that Frieza's not even going to see him.
And King Cold is like, what's a Goku? And it's like, father.
What's a Goku?
Father, please, try to remember my boyfriend's name. I cannot get over that is, the tone is indistinguishable from if that's what they were talking about.
Oh, yeah. Genuinely my favorite line of these entire episodes. What's a Goku?
And then we go back to goddamn baseball.
We can't escape it.
Nope. It's all sports all the time.
The base.
The foot soldier shoots a, like, what is it? The Mega Buster. Mega Man gun.
Basically, yes. Yeah.
At this kid. And the kid deflects it easily. And then proceeds to chop up pretty much all of Frieza's henchmen.
Whoa.
Which clues the Z-Warriors in to a new presence over at this fight.
But, a new power?
But his power level is 5.
how could he do all this?
How does that work?
Sharp implements.
Yeah, see, like we've been saying this whole time.
Frieza Force armor is not designed for swords.
This kid claims that Frieza is about to see a real Super Saiyan, and he's not talking about Goku.
Oh my.
But Vegeta's not even here yet.
Yeah.
Frieza tries to laugh this off, but the kid is quick to demonstrate, and he starts to transform and shout in much the same way that Goku did.
What?
But I don't know how any of this is possible, because there's only 3 Saiyans, and 2 of them are on the other side of the cliff.
And nobody got blown up.
That's true.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. This flies in the face of everything we know about physics.
I like Frieza in this sequence. Like, I like him compared to King Cold, because King Cold is just kind of standing there watching.
Yeah.
But Frieza is visibly shaken to see this happening again, and is especially paralyzed by the piercing turquoise eyes.
Oh, yeah.
The cyan eyes of a killer.
And there are flashbacks to what Goku said to him when he turned and left him and refused to finish him off. Like, let this eat away at you forever.
And it is.
Yep.
So Frieza decides not to wait around and just pulls out the biggest gun he's got, which is that planet-killing ball, the tip of his finger.
Always pulling out the death ball.
Yeah.
Isn't this where King Cold's like, you could have just done this from the start, you know?
You're right.
Yeah.
We could have just done this from fucking space. It appears to crush the kid, but it slowly lifts back up into the sky. And the kid has caught it with one hand.
One hand?
Because he's so rad!
Like a baller.
He must be stronger than Goku.
Whoa.
I hope he's a good guy, because he seems kind of shifty.
And mysterious.
Those shifty eyes.
This encounter is meant to only establish the power scaling.
Frieza does something very slick, though, I think.
That is true.
He manually detonates the big planet killer ball while the boy is holding it.
Yeah.
And then Toriyama very clearly writes himself into a corner. With the layout of this scene, because I'm pretty sure that ball should have made a crater the size of a small city.
Yeah. I mean, it probably should have destroyed the planet.
Yeah, but he was like, "Wait, that would blow up the rest of the Z Warriors. Oh, and it would blow up King Cold's ship."
My theory is maybe it was either A, not fully formed, or B, the planet death ball only really becomes a planet death ball when it fucks up the planet core,
when it interacts with the minerals,
the
planet core,
and needs a catalyst.
Frieza is sure that the kid is dead after this, and this is where he and King Cold do a bit of ribbing back and forth. Oh, father, seriously.
You're cramping my style.
Considering Frieza's attitude towards everything else, I was surprised, very pleasantly so, but very surprised at the relationship that he has with his dad.
The way that he speaks with his
dad.
They
seem to like actually like each other.
Yeah.
In their weird,
to an extent,
asshole way. Like, they have the
Daddy,
same.
I want to go to a Pinkberry on the way home.
They have the same temperament.
It's what you get when a pair of two-faced alpha bitches get together.
Yeah, basically.
The kid, however, is not dead. He's on a cliffside that is above them.
And then he whipped out his sweetest Naruto jutsus.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote that shit down.
Okay, I'm glad I wasn't the only one.
What the fuck?
The craziest hand gestures.
He did the fire style jutsu.
He doesn't say it in. Well, does he? I don't remember. Does he name it here?
What?
He did not.
The attack.
He did not.
He names it later.
Name.
I don't. I'm not familiar with that.
This is called a burning attack. I don't know why.
Because it's a fire style jutsu.
There you go.
He does the crazy jutsu and he shoots a little ki ball at Frieza. Frieza jumps out of the way, but he is right where the kid wanted him to be, because the kid just bisects Frieza with his sword.
Unceremoniously, bam, yeah. Frieza's done.
Remember that guy who we fought for 30 episodes?
Yep.
Barely.
Frieza just died to a sword.
Well,
one blow.
What did we say about Frieza Force armor and sharp implements?
Yep, we called it.
What did we say?
We were correct.
It's yeah. The kryptonite. Now, I have thoughts on this.
Yeah.
On one hand, this is a really cool and iconic moment. Very well done.
For sure.
But also, mm-hmm. kind of bad? In that,
how so?
In that it just kind of like, oh yeah, that all that stuff Goku went through, if this kid was there, it wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah. True. Where was this kid the whole time?
I've thought more about Frieza as a character and like the entirety of the you know, the Frieza saga and like the latter half of all that stuff, like since we got done with it, and like the more distance I get from it and the more I think about it, the more I love it. Because Frieza honestly is Goku's ultimate opponent, I think. Like in an ideological sense.
Yeah.
Because Frieza's whole thing is that if you have to work for anything, it's because that's a problem with you.
It's not worth it.
And it's not worth it, and it's like you trying to get something that you don't deserve, that wasn't mm-hmm. given to you. And whereas Goku is the guy who, despite, again, as we've said before, the fact that the show defeats this entire concept immediately, inherently, but Goku works his ass off for everything that he gets. And yeah. they are so the two of them are so profoundly offensive to each other just by existing. Like, it made that contest makes perfect sense. So for DBZ to continue and then for Frieza to end up like this, like I mean I don't know, maybe this kid worked super hard to become this awesome, but
maybe
it's not great.
It's plausible.
But I'm buckled up for the ride. So
yeah,
one thing I only just now realized actually that is interesting is, okay, so we already know that Toriyama is a huge wrestling fan.
Yes, Matt, I was going to bring this up as well.
Okay,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, based on how often he just wholesale rips off wrestlers. But what he did here is a very common practice in wrestling, where if you want to bring in a new wrestling character,
a new challenger,
and you want to establish that they are big and bad, have them just fight an established wrestler and absolutely get his shit handed to him,
be decimated.
Yeah, like one prime example is back in the day in WWE, when the wrestler Goldberg showed up, the first thing he did was come down and fight The Rock, who was and is still the biggest name in wrestling, and just destroyed him like 10 seconds flat. It was nothing. And Goldberg, for that time being, was the biggest, baddest dude in the company. And it's just
so what you're
of...
saying is that the tropes of power escalation introduced by Dragon Ball Z, which went on to shape all of anime for decades ahead of that, are just wrestling tropes.
They have their humble beginnings.
Pretty much.
That's pretty great.
Anime is is carnies.
Frieza here is fulfilling a Yamcha-esque role, I would say.
My God.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, is Yamcha still getting owned to prove how awesome people are, like even in Super?
Wait around for maybe 5 episodes.
Cool.
And you'll have your answer. Any final thoughts for 120 in the meantime?
No, I just remember these scenes just had me with rapt attention as a kid and now.
Yeah.
This is a huge surprise to me. Like, this is all stuff that I had not even an inkling of from cultural osmosis.
I have distinct memories of me and my friends trying to do those hand motions that Trunks, I mean, the mysterious...
Oh my God.
The mysterious youth.
Exactly as he did it.
He did have some good hand motions.
Mm-hmm. Naruto jutsus. My last note for these episodes is that when Tien and Chiaotzu come back from wherever they were, I guess Tien was off studying with the legendary Lumberjack Masters, because he has like a lumberjack shirt, but as a martial arts gi.
I love that outfit.
He's lumberjacked when he comes back in, bud.
It's true.
Yeah.
He's trying to beat Goku.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
He's built like a brick Shinhan.
And dude, he doesn't back down when he starts shit with Vegeta.
Well done. You earned that. I'm not happy about it, but you earned it.
Dave Clap is a real wow.
Let's hail Satan.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is an important hail Satan, as far as I understand.
This is big one.
We've done a little bit of discussion beforehand. It's going to take a little bit of setting up because it is sort of a unique situation, but we're doing a time skip in Hail Satan.
Unprecedented.
Before the events of the show itself, because we are going to be covering an event that the show doesn't really talk about, which is the 24th Tenkaichi Budokai.
I mean, it sort of talks about it, just doesn't show it.
Yeah, it doesn't, it's not on screen that often. There's some cutaways to it later on as flashbacks, but other than that, it's mostly just up in the air.
And now that the Garlic Jr. saga wiped out a lot of people because of zombies and various mists, the people denying Hercules Satan those building permits have passed on, so now he's easily able to secure the rights to form a tournament arena.
Exactly.
A lot of free real estate opened up is what I'm saying.
He really wants to establish his dominance as world champion.
He wants to say, he wants
that
to
brand.
Find out.
I was about to say, as a brand as well as a fighter.
Who's number one under the heaven?
My question is this, who's the big corporate sponsor for this Tenkaichi?
Ooh. Sport drink.
Less feeling?
Tastes great.
Also, I didn't really watch a lot of Dragon Ball, so how do these things, like, work exactly?
They change a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Honestly. They like to change their rules sometimes.
Hmm.
The one that sticks with me, I think they did at least twice, was they did, I think, four blocks where, like,
yes,
a bunch of fighters would go at it, and the top two of each block would go on to the quarterfinals.
A lot of preliminaries.
Mm-hmm.
And just to finish the setup, the reason that we are skipping ahead is because in the canon, as Akira Toriyama has laid it out, we know that the finals correspond with a specific event in the show, so we need to try and match it.
Yeah.
Oh.
In our recordings. That's what we're shooting for. Mm-hmm. I can't say what it is out loud to the people who don't know what it is, because it is a spoiler, but Matt and I know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
At least I think Matt knows.
Mm-hmm.
So, we know what we're aiming for.
We'll know it when we see it. So, also, fun fact, I believe this is the first World Martial Arts Tournament to include a junior division.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
As far as we know.
And which makes it all the more... This points so much more evidence to the idea that, like, Hercule really just wants to become the world's strongest martial artist in the world, and also he wants a bonding moment with his daughter. Anything... Please.
I assumed it was because in every previous tournament there was a kid in the finals. and Mr. Satan didn't want none of that.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
We're Sounds getting fair. Two birds with one stone here, and I should know a thing or two about birds.
As I do command them.
He didn't want to accidentally lose to his daughter.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Oh my lord.
So, who all is entering the official 24th World Martial Arts Tournament? We've built an elaborate fanon of Hail Satan Satanites. What? who would be apt competitors.
Matt, can you please tell us the canon finalists or quarterfinalists?
Sure. Yeah, we'll start with those.
Okay, the ones we know for sure are Mr. Satan, a boxer named Killa, big old gentleman with a mullet named Spopovich.
Sort of a grappler, I would say.
Yeah.
Like a Zangief kind of figure.
Looks mysteriously a lot like Andre the Giant.
Somehow.
And we got a blonde guy named Jewel, man looking like a genie named Pintar.
and an unnamed kung fu guy with a ponytail that I've decided to name Silver Fang.
I'm into it.
Because why not?
Fang, not Fang.
Right.
Fang is already taken.
Yeah. There's also a character named Mighty Mask, superhero type, but he does not make it to the top eight.
So who makes it in his stead?
Oh, right. And there's also, well, this isn't officially canon, but it's ours. It's going to be the mercenary, Tao Pai Pai.
Ominous.
So no matter what, these fools gotta make it.
Right.
But before that, we've got a lot of preliminaries and nonsense to go through, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chaos.
Mm-hmm.
So,
for instance,
I'm gonna say...
We know for sure Satan's crew is gonna be in this thing.
Right, oh, so that's Karoni, Piroshki,
Cannoli. He might be in the junior division. I don't know what the cutoff is.
Yeah, we should establish that. What's the cutoff here? Are we involving teens in the junior division?
I think that's teen level.
Yeah, because that way, in that case, we can have Zeshin and Bun, the green-eyed children.
Mm-hmm.
And Emmy.
Oh, yeah.
And her shin kicks.
Yeah!
Devastating shin kicks.
Infamous.
Into the junior division. Would any of the bad chicks be down for another round? At the World
Man.
Martial Arts Tournament.
I was just about to ask, does Launch attempt to enter with guns?
And she attempts to enter and is disqualified.
Yeah. And that has to be bodily restrained.
Removed from the premise.
What's that Fist of the North Star bit? You call throwing dynamite a kung fu art? Hey, if it works.
I'd like if a Raleigh tried to enter, but similarly she just like won one match by throwing somebody out of the ring and then said that was fun.
I think we can have a Raleigh in the junior division, but we can trick her into losing somehow.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, very down for this.
Ranfan would probably give it a go again.
And would probably try to cheat again.
Beelzebarbara probably wants to get some form of closure with Hercule.
Oh, wants very badly to defeat her husband.
Oh, that would be
only
great.
This time in a martial arts context.
Is that going to be one of the Satan's preliminary matches? Is against his ex-wife?
I think so.
I'm down for that.
That's kind of incredible.
Love it.
And Videl just, you know, wants to be involved.
I feel like each of Mr. Satan's fights need to have some sort of emotional stake.
Of course.
Can another one be Officer Hoverhound?
Oh my god.
Please.
Absolutely.
It turns out Officer Hoverhound is a judo instructor for the police department.
he got promoted. What is his new rank?
From just officer?
Sergeant Hoverhound.
Sergeant Hoverhound.
Good.
Do they have sergeants in police? They probably do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Aaron, didn't you want Frog Ginyu to show up?
Yeah, yes. I wanted to know if Frog Ginyu can compete.
Frog Ginyu and Ginyu Frog. Both of them. The final showdown.
Does Ginyu... Ginyu Frog is Ginyu in Frog body?
Uh-huh.
Or reverse? I forget how...
I don't know.
I want the Frog in Ginyu's body to compete.
Ginyu Frog is Ginyu body, Frog mind.
Okay.
Pam body, Garf head.
Yes. So, So Frog Ginyu is the one that is Ginyu.
Yeah.
Really Ginyu.
Are we writing all these down? Is somebody?
I'll write them down afterwards I am editing. So Frog Ginyu is piloting Ginyu Frog like Ratatouille.
Okay. By your powers
that's
combined.
So much better than them fighting. can Yajirobe be in it?
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Would he enter?
He's got nothing else. I mean, he needs cash.
Yeah, to buy hot dogs, you're right.
Yeah.
Literally anybody motivated by money.
You're
in.
Your immediate acceptance of that, Dave, really, really tickled me. of course, hot dogs.
Tyler, I think you said you wanted Garen to enter from the first tournament.
No, I was just suggesting to Aaron, like any Captain Ginyu weird stuff is possible because they do let dinosaurs enter.
Right. Oh, okay, yeah. Hey, speaking of that,
it never says
T-Rex and Sabretooth are friends.
Right. T-Rex is canonically a ghost now.
Yeah. That has never stopped anyone from entering a world's martial arts tournament.
You just got done saying.
Death is irrelevant.
I could see Sabretooth entering with like a bandana and an eye patch.
Good.
Like punished Sabretooth.
Just a full Bardock bandana.
He does have a blood-stained bandana from T-Rex on his head.
Oh no.
He wants the money to fund an expedition to look for the Dragon Balls so we can bring his friend back to life.
So the only character that I'm like really I want in this tournament is a character from Dr. Slump, who is a parody of Superman called Superman. And I want him to fight Mighty Mask.
Okay.
Sounds good. I love it.
It's Mighty Mask asks him, "Do you bleed?"
And then Superman pulls a knife on him. Oh, and just for like the sake of putting a old school Dragon Ball character, I want to see King Choppa in it.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I do want to see because we established previously that like Oolong was Mark's first trainer. So I want him to show up and cheer on his old student.
His pupil.
Nice.
Yeah. This is happening concurrently with the shit, or is this, when is this happening? Or
is it? This is happening 2 years from the events of the show currently.
Okay, 2 years. All right. Yeah. Because I was like, does Oolong know the world is ending? And he's just like, I'm just going to go to the martial arts tournament. I'm not going to think about it.
This sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
We're jumping ahead about 2 years.
Right.
Is that going to do it for Hail Satan? Any last minute contenders?
Oh, now you got the pressure.
I'm like going to think of one at 3 a.m.
Right. Yeah, if we think of more for next time, we can add them real quick.
Yeah, I'm gonna come next week with like 5 more characters.
The fight's just starting, bud. The preliminary's got room for everybody.
All right, Jason.
Mm.
Do you have a 4-star rating?
I sure do. Did you know that various Dragon Ball characters have canonical birthdays and thus have canonical signs?
Say what?
No!
Why, yes, it's true. Not
what
this one,
though.
What
are you saying?
Well... got jokes!
we have fun here,
Kai himself.
Folks. We have fun. Primarily at my expense.
In this case, at the end of each episode, what we like to do is flip over to the horoscope section and read a little something-something for one of our Dragon Ball characters. Now, the character this week doesn't really have a canonical one, so we have to reverse engineer one based on their manga debut date. In which case, this character debuted on October 24th. That would make Frieza a Scorpio.
We got Frieza again.
Listen, it's probably going to be the last time in a long while.
Yeah,
so,
you never know.
Yeah, so I say why not make this count, right?
This guy's still not dead?
Alive just long enough to hear a new horoscope. So, Frieza, listen up. Enjoy the morning tranquility, because things are only going to get more hectic and energetic as the day goes on.
Oh,
boy,
emotions will run high. And everyone around you will be more opinionated than usual. A conflict may arise, and you'll feel an urge to remove yourself from the situation. Understand that a more peaceful agreement will ensue if you just take a breath, jump in, and add your 2 cents worth.
Boy.
Oh, boy.
Never before has advice been more needed.
Should have just blown the planet up from the ship.
Yep.
I bet King Cold loves horoscopes.
Oh,
loves astrology.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Mm-hmm. He even reads the ones that don't apply to him. Frieza's a Scorpio. He's going to appreciate this advice.
He is constantly posting on Facebook.
He's the dad that just tags Frieza in all the posts.
Makes you think.
That's
Frieza.
That's his entire wall.
Puts up all the minion memes.
Oh no.
So thank you all for listening to this very good Dragon Ball Z podcast every week. You only get content like this here at Destructo Discourse.
Nowhere else.
That's why we ask, for how many stars?
You're jumping the gun a bit.
Oh, sorry.
We gotta tell everyone where we all live. Dave, if people would like to find you elsewhere, is there a way for them to do that?
I'm pretty much just at Scythe, P-S-Y-T-H-E, on Archive of Our Own. I write fan fiction. Some of it is
Did you just post one?
I did just post one, but unfortunately it is not any of the things I've been teasing for a long time on this podcast. We will get there, I promise.
But still.
Yeah.
If you like Dave, go check that out. Matt, how about you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at MonumentousMatt. Otherwise, you can look at places such as Instagram, SoundCloud, whatever, where you can find my art and music under Define Prague. And I never really mention it, but by the time this has come out, I'll have just done my first live show with my rock and roll band called Null and Void, which you can find on Facebook and Bandcamp.
That's a good name.
That sounds really good.
I'm sure it was a good show.
Congrats on the achievement.
Hell yeah.
Aaron.
Yeah.
How about you?
I am thrown off from accidentally jumping the gun. I'm sorry. I just got real excited. I don't do much on the internet, but if you are in the Southwest Ohio area, you can come to the city of Dayton to the Black Box Improv Theater. I'm with a group that performs on Wednesday nights, but the theater has shows every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and they're all really good.
And closing us out, Jason.
Hello, hello. Well, if you'd like to hear more of my nonsense on the internet or see any of my fun good draws, you can you can tune into my Twitter at jcavs, that's J-A-Y-C-A-L-V-E-S.
If you would like to contact this show directly, you can do that on Twitter as well. We are at @destructo_disc, D-I-S-C, where there is also a pinned tweet that is an invite to our fan Discord, which is the Destructo Discourse Discord. Please go ahead and join that. Chat with us there.
Say it 5 times fast.
I refuse. We also have an email, which is destructodiscourse@gmail.com. A few of you have been utilizing that to send us tabletop systems to play Dragon Ball Z in, which is very cool. I appreciate that.
I read a bunch of the submission, the Powered by the Apocalypse one. It looks fantastic, but it is also very spoilery. So,
yeah, it may have to wait a bit, but it does look awesome.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you for sending that in. And if you would like to help other people find out about this show, the best way to do so, other than just word of mouth, is to give us a rating and review on iTunes or Google Play or wherever you actually find this podcast. But wherever you do that, please give us a 4-star rating. Aaron, tell them why.
Because it's Gohan! We like Gohan here.
We love Gohan.
We're a pro Gohan podcast.
He's a
We're
good
a
boy.
Pro Han podcast.
Stick it on a sticker.
We're a pro Han cast. That's all for me. Give us the Gohan.
This has been Destructo Discourse, and we're just getting warmed up.
Never turns to day. Don't you be afraid, go fly away. Chala, chala. No time to hesitate. Don't wanna search the earth, but then it was a magic surprise. Oh. Chala, chala. Be cool, don't be afraid. You got the power to get you through the night. Chala, hey, chala. No time to hate.